Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Let's get underway.
Saturdays were made for this. The biggest names and the biggest games. Right here.
Woo! For King G, where comfort is king.
2, 3, 4! Hey, ho, let's go!
Triple M rocks the NRL.
Welcome to the Triple M Saturday Scrum.
So nice to be with you on this Saturday afternoon, heading towards kickoff 3 o'clock. The Sharks and the Gold Coast Titans at Jubilee Stadium. That is at 3, as I said. Peter Sterling will join us from 2. Get his take on what has gone down so far in this weekend of rugby league. Reedy will also join us with his mail. We'll speak with Abby Corrissauer. It is a massively jam-packed show. It begins right here, right now, as I sit alongside Ryan Girdler, Emma Lawrence, Mark Guy. My name's Tony Squires, and the man we're about to welcome is one of the greats. Has been of the Dragons. Sadly for we Dragons fans, he heads to Newcastle next year. But giving everything in this season is Tyson Frizzell. G'day, mate.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Very well, thank you. Take us back. We'll talk about the game yesterday in a moment, but specifically going into that dressing room afterwards, watching on the telly, there was a lot of emotion in there.
Yeah, there definitely was. I think it's been an emotional couple of days for the club, the players, and also myself and Mary's been at the club since I've been there the past 7 years. And yeah, he's well regarded within the playing group, and we all got a lot of respect for him. So last night we just wanted to put in a performance to pretty much say thank you and for everything that he's done for us, and send him off on a high.
He even got to, in the team song, throw in a bit of the "When the Saints Begin to Shine." I saw he was with the group, which is great.
Yeah, it was a bit off. Been able to sing it too much this year, but it was great to have him a part of that. I think he was on the sideline for the first time in his career too. So I think he really wanted to enjoy it and embrace it. And I think he spoke through the week about how much of it's been a privilege for him and for us to be a part of this club. And yeah, I think he just wanted to soak it all up and get amongst it. And he did that last night.
Hey, Frizz, tell us a little bit. You've seen the whole journey pretty much of Dean Young since he's sort of come in and done some things in and around coaching. Tell us about how you think he'll go for the next few weeks.
Yeah, mate, I don't think too much will change. He's always played a big role in within the coaching staff and also with guys like Shane there as well alongside him are going to be really good. I don't think too much will change, but... Like Mary, a lot of boys respect Dean. He's bled for the club and he's played for the club and he'll do anything for the club. So, looking forward to the challenge for us as a playing group and also for Dean. Looking forward to him take control of the side. But, we'll see how things plan out.
There were some nervous Dragons fans last night, Tony Squires included, as they were watching. But, gee, how impressive. Doesn't get any better than beating the Eels. What was most impressive, do you think, about the performance?
I think probably, we always speak about from the 80-minute performance together, but the past couple of weeks we've been okay and we just haven't put that whole game together. We've played in patches and, our good from our bad have been really bad and our good's been, outstanding. A couple of games there we've led by a lot of points and then let teams back in and then we always seem to come fighting towards the end and trying to come away at the game at the end. It's been too late, but last night I guess the weather kind of suited us and made us play a simple type of game and it was good to come away with win, like I said.
Tyson, you mentioned the past 7 years in the Red V. How hard was the decision to head north and make Newcastle your new home?
Oh, mate, it was very difficult, to be honest. I made my decision. I changed my decision probably about 3 or 4 times before leading up to it. I hold the club very close to my heart, so there's times there where I just couldn't say I could leave, but you know, I think I was ready for a change, and you know, the way it all come about was, you know, probably not great timing with, you know, COVID hitting and you know, people losing their jobs, and then there's me, you know, signing a new deal, which wasn't great to come out, but there's no secrets in rugby league, and
none.
You know, I'm happy with, yeah, I guess I'm happy with my decision, but I've always said from the start that, you know, I'd be staying at the club until my contract runs out, and I'd be doing everything I can to be the best player I can for this club.
Well, that's absolutely right. And Tyson, I guess the fans, obviously, the first thing they feel is a complete disappointment that you won't be there, but fans just demand that that player gives everything while wearing that jersey, which there was never any doubt that that's exactly what you would do.
Yeah, and that's been my whole plan, you know. You know, I know things aren't going, you know, too well the past couple of weeks with the club, but I said from day dot, no matter what, I, you know, put on the jersey. The club's given me so much, and, you know, all I want to do is repay them by being the best player I can for my teammates and the club, and finish on a high, and, you know, hopefully be respected by not only the fans but the players as well.
Do you keep one eye on the? I know, yeah. You know, you're worried about your own, you know, what you're doing to the Dragons. But now that you've made the decision, is there, once your game's over tonight, will you now watch the Newcastle game differently?
To be honest, I've probably, you know, I've probably seen how they've been going. I haven't been going out of my own way to see how they've been performing, but it's.
Especially the second rows in particular.
Hopefully they're not playing too well. But yeah, oh mate, yeah, it's hard not to, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
to
yeah, of course.
It's always in the back of your mind, but you know, you do sort of listen out to see how they're going, but hopefully they don't go too well this year, and they have a better year next year.
Now, Tyson, will you miss being behind the wheel of Tonya, the bus that drives players from Sydney to Wollongong?
Oh, yeah, it's been good. Like I've got plenty of memories. You know, I have plenty of memories of driving down from Cronulla to Wollongong in the bus. But you know, hopefully I'll be living somewhere closer. I'm not travelling an hour every day to train, which would be good. But yeah, definitely the laughs, the camaraderie with all the boys is something that I'll miss.
Hey, speaking of players giving their all for the jersey, Cam McInnes, he just seems like the guy that, I mean, every club would want a guy like him. Every single second he's on that field, seems like he's giving his absolute all. What's he like to have around the club?
Yeah, he's a great leader for the club, and someone that they'll need going forward. It's I know he's played a lot of hooker in his role, but he's made the 13 jersey his own in the past couple of weeks, and you can just see the type of player that he is, especially being that 13 jersey, being able to carry the ball well and also do his, you know, defensive stuff like he always does. So he's a great leader for the club, and he's going to be great for them going forward.
Hey, Frizz, were you on the field at the back end of last night's game, or were you on the bench? Were you on the field?
No, I was on the field.
What did you think when your trusted winger, Michale Ravawala, decided with a minute and a half to go to throw that pass in his own in goal? Did you get a little bit nervous?
Oh, mate. I think I would have dragged him off if it didn't come off.
I think you're done more than that.
Oh, yeah. It's he was on fire last night, to be honest. And I think he'd been spoken about coming up against his Fijian mate, Sivo, and I think he got over him last night and had an outstanding game, and something that we needed, especially from our back three in those conditions, was to have a good game, and I thought he did too.
Yeah, he certainly did. He was great, and Zach Lomax continues to impress, as does Tyson Frizzell, and obviously Saints fans, Dragons fans are shattered you won't be there, but as I said, proud of the way that you've gone about your business this year and every time you've been involved with the club. Thanks so much for having a chat with us today, mate.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
And all the best in beautiful Newcastle. There he is, Tyson.
What a player, eh?
Yeah, what a great
sensational player.
And that's the thing, isn't it? You know, there's so many times, and these days it happens all the time. You know,
oh, they put the cue in the racks.
Exactly. Yeah, and he would never do that. Plenty to come. We're going to talk about the bubble and its bursting.
Oh, not Finchie, is it?
No, it's Finchie. All right. On the Saturday scrum. Triple M rocking the footy on a Saturday afternoon. Emma Lawrence, where are we at? Before we get to Finchie, Brett Finch, and the issues of the bubble with him that's being investigated in terms of the Warriors, with the Broncos. Mm. Now, the investigation, does that continue? I understand things that... It is slightly confusing for people, isn't it? Because clearly things that happen in different states are different, whether there's community transfer or not, and in Queensland there isn't. So they have different regulations,
rules
in Brisbane. Yet the notion of a Broncos group of 10 players, it was a hotel, but it was the dining room attached. They're allowed to have restaurant meals and cafe meals.
Yes, so it's it's a very sort of grey area because according a couple of weeks ago to the rules they had in place then, they were allowed to go and dine at a cafe or a restaurant with those in their bubble. So they were at the restaurant part of the pub. They definitely did that, sat down and had a meal. But there are reports as well. Patrons had said they saw them in the pokey area, up drinking at the bar, that type of thing, which is against the rules.
So which is also unusual for the Broncos players because they usually visit the pokies on the night before the game rather than after the game.
For a major semi-final.
Yeah. That's right. That is a very valid point. I hadn't thought of that. But, it's grey area if you're there, but in one section it's okay. But I guess the point is because if you need to go out and get food, but going to the pokies, that wasn't allowed. So the NRL... were trying to get hold of some CCTV footage to work out exactly what went on, whether or not they can get hold of it, whether or not it's conclusive. So that's where they're at with that. So they can potentially, well, not potentially, they'll get hefty fines if they were found to be doing the wrong thing. They've been cleared from a biosecurity point of view, so they can still be training and playing. So that's not an issue. It's just the fact that if they broke the rules, when it's pretty clear that the NRL and Volandis will not tolerate that, given what is at stake. Mm. And because Volandis spoke during the week when he had a press conference and said, look, we have an exemption at the moment to be flying teams in and out on game day with Queensland, and Anastasia Palaszczuk has been great in allowing that. But at any stage, that could be pulled. The government could just say, we've had enough. Your players are just not getting the message. So it's not it really is when he says... The rest of the season is on the line.
It
really is. Like, they cannot afford to have one more stuff up. They've had now, five, whether this Broncos one was a breach or not, but we've still had five in the last week and a half.
Yeah. All right, with Finchie, and we all love Finchie here, and Todd Payton, the interim Warriors coach, clearly loves him and wanted him involved, MG, with the group, and partly with him as well. He was in the coach's box. We saw him the other night, and Todd Payton, he said it was the loudest the coach's box had been, and brings a different kind of thing to the equation, which is great. But sadly, there was also posted on social media, I think the night before of that game, he'd appeared on a podcast, and he was with a group of guys, clearly not social distancing and being bubble compliant, I wouldn't have thought. It's so tough for all of these guys who, who grown up adults doing these things, yet, they've got to comply or there's danger for the season.
Yeah, look, not the crime of the century, is it? But in these times, everyone goes, oh, you can't, like, it just everyone's so temperamental. And as M mentioned with Palaszczuk and the game with Volandis, any time you feel as though that one more indiscretion, it could all crumble down. And little things like that add up. Look, again, you just got to be more careful with what you do. When you are allowed into the bubble, you kind of surrender a lot of your freedom. You've chosen a path to go and do something with the rugby league team, and the rugby league players, by large, of all adhered to the rules and regulations, but they're human. We're going to have stuff ups along the line. We've got to get over the stuff ups. We've got to make sure that the stuff ups don't happen as regularly as they have in the last fortnight.
Indeed. All right, plenty to come. We are going to get Reedy's Mail a little bit later on, play a bit of Believe It or Not. As I said, Appy Corrissau will also join us. Sturlo in at 2, all ahead. Saturday Scrum.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Type our scoreboard tells me that the Storm over the Roosters, 24 points to 6. We mentioned earlier that long list of injured players from the Roosters. Storm ended that game, obviously, without their skipper Cameron Smith. Cameron Munster was also not there. A man who is in Australia has gone through his lockdown. Is he ready to go? We've been told that Sonny Bill Williams won't be playing until the Canberra game, I think, is the plan at the moment. Should he be rushed back in given the level of injuries? Well, Sonny Bill Williams spoke today. This is what he had to say.
Well, I think just from a sportsman mentality, you always feel pressure. And, you know, I'd be lying if I said I was different. But I think when you learn to accept that pressure and try and thrive in it, that's when you get good results. So definitely, like you touched on, I'm 35. I'm no spring chicken anymore. But and I was on holidays. So, you know, coming back into the toughest rugby league competition in the world has got its challenges in itself. But I'm here and, you know, being vulnerable and just putting myself out there. But, you know, what a organisation to come back and be a part of. And I haven't run for 3 weeks. I haven't played for 6 months. I'm coming off surgery. You know, mentally, I'm just like most other sportsmen, where I'd like to think that I could just go straight away. But I'd like to, once I'm going and there's no hiccups. So I think we've just got to, you know, lay everything on the table and just see how I go out there. So time will tell, brother.
There's Sonny Bill Williams speaking today.
Sounds like he's ready to go, Tony.
Ready to go. He's certainly saying that he's not kind of rushing at it, is he?
Yeah, well, he knows his body, doesn't he? Yeah. He obviously knows who he's dealing with there with Trent Robinson and the Roosters as well, and I think it's just going to be something that they monitor daily. They need him back. There's no two ways about that, especially with Orbison going down and the list that they have. So, but there's no use playing a half-fit Sonny Bill Williams. I mean, there's no value in that. They've got some young guys that they're going to need to put into that system over the next couple of weeks. And I think we'll see Sonny when he's ready, it sounds like.
Really? You're not tempted, if you're the coach, to go, gee, we just, even if it's for a 15-minute, off the bench. Maybe off the beach.
Sure, let's go to the beach.
Yeah, exactly. MG, are you picking him or are you waiting and being conservative until that, round 17 match?
I'm picking him before I heard him then speak. I think he, as Gerd's mentioned, he knows his body. I think maybe 2 weeks he's probably giving himself listening to that press conference. And I think with Sonny, he's such a perfectionist. He's been in lockdown for 2 weeks, but now he's just got out last Thursday. He's basically hasn't played for so long, as you mentioned. But I would be tempted just to have him in the 17, just to have him sitting around and training and before the game and after the game. But you don't want him to be injured after the first time he plays the game either. So there's a temperamental selection that Trent Robinson will know exactly what he wants to do with Sonny Bill Williams. But obviously, given the latest peril that they face, the Roosters, you'd be thinking about it. You'd be thinking about bringing the Rolls Royce out of the garage and saying, let's go for a spin. But literally, that's what he's been driving.
But given the fact that we spoke, not so long ago, earlier in the show, about injuries and having that massive break with COVID, players getting more injuries and being prepared, I just don't think it is worth the risk of Sonny Bill Williams being underdone when you want him there for the final series. And just taking a look at who they're playing as well.
Yep.
West Tigers and the Broncos.
Yep.
So without being disrespectful to those two sides.
Well, we kind of are. Yeah, a little bit.
We're not wanting to. I'm not trying to be disrespectful, there's the Canberra game, which is the one they're saying he'll return for. You'd imagine that would be, of the next three, the most difficult. So,
or conversely, and wouldn't it, maybe even the fact that they are not the top teams, maybe it might be a good game to have to get your legs stretched.
Well, maybe even for the second maybe the Broncos one. But I don't think in 1 week, given he hasn't even run for 3 weeks, played for so long, I think definitely not this week coming.
There's a few guys coming back. I mean, they say that Hargreaves will be back from the calf injury around 15, so that's next week. Morris will potentially be back. Crichton's back 15. Tupu's back around 15. Obviously, Boyd's a situation that is changing by the week, so we think that he's going to be another 3 or 4 weeks. But they're getting three senior players that are really going to help their cause for that game against the Tigers this week. I don't think a half-fit Sonny Bill's going to really make that much difference. I think it's great to say that you want to have him around and you want to have him in the 17, but I think you need to, as a coach, need to think, is he going to make a difference to the outcome of the game. And at this point in time, you would say he's not in a position to do that. So why play him?
Are you the three-peat? We were kind of confident about it happening a little while ago. I'm not sure.
It was almost a fait accompli.
It was, wasn't it? It was. And you know, we see the Storm, and they're just a remarkable footy team, remarkable footy club. We talk about records. That was their seventh consecutive win this season. That's the 13th time, the fifth season in a row, that they've had seven wins in a row. They just do that.
Yeah.
If they finish in the top two that stat this year, that would be the fifth year in a row they've been.
You know, it's really
two.
Impressed me about Melbourne, the development, and with Hughes. And look, he was a fullback, and last year at the back end of the season, he fought for that spot in the finals with Croft, and there was uncertainty around those positions with Pappenhausen and the like, getting some experience. But for me, that's been the game changer for the Storm this year, is the way that he's performed on that right side, allowing Cam Munster to play on the left, how settled he is. The influence Pappenhausen's been able to have in his second year, which is always much more difficult than your first year, and live up to that expectation of the Billy Slater, which everyone compares him to, which is not easy to do. And the development of guys like Olam.
Yep.
Like he's a guy that centers just don't want to play against. So the development around the players that just need a little bit more experience this year has just allowed them to go the way that they are and get the results that they are. And I think they're going to be really hard to beat, but so are the Roosters. How could you write the Roosters off?
You can never write them off.
No, you can't. Speaking
of Jerome Hughes, Craig Bellamy said that would have been the best game that he's played at seven for the Melbourne Storm. And he said, and it probably having Cam not there allowed him to do that a bit more.
Yeah.
So the thing is, too, though, he's pretty tough because he was carrying a groin injury as well. And Craig Bellamy said that he might even miss a week because of that, which brings potentially Cooper Johns into the picture to make his NRL debut, which would be great for the family after Jack made his debut just a couple of weeks ago for Souths as well.
And that bench, you know, Fasua Malawi.
That's me officially writing the Roosters off.
Is that
sorry.
Fasua Malawi and Nelson Asofa Solomon coming on after 20 minutes.
Mm.
I mean, there's no
what
more
luxury.
Side with a better bench in the competition. So they've got some potency.
I can't
there.
Believe you did that, Tony.
What's that?
You can't write the Roosters off.
Nobody else is doing it. Come on. You've got to speak your own mind occasionally.
It's got to
I've never done that before, so it feels good liberating.
Oh, look at Dragons win last night.
I know.
Yeah, look at him.
So I've spoken to Ty Frizzell. He's happy.
Everything's coming up, Tony.
You watch tonight. You're going home, have a bottle of wine to yourself, and then it's all downhill from there. That's what you'll do.
Welcome to your world.
Yes. I should point out it was organic wine, by the way.
So. No difference,
does that,
darling.
Does that make any difference?
No.
Preservative free.
Did you have a headache?
Should have too.
That is officially called clutching at straws, which I'm sure you didn't use. Did you use a straw as well just to make it fancy?
Oh, please.
Believe it or not, it is next. Then we'll get Reed's mail on the Saturday Scrum. We're doing it for King G.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Yeah, King G, been king of industry since 1926, and that's almost when we began to play this game.
Believe it or not, believe it or not.
All right, team. Here we go. Just a few contentious issues for you to nut out. Some of you to believe it or not. If Tevita Pangai Jr., if sacked, Tevita Pangai Jr. will find another NRL club easily. Emma Lawrence?
Well, he'll find another club, definitely. It's quite interesting that I think Trent Robinson was so honest in saying not just they were not interested in him, but that he doesn't fit the culture that they've built at the club. Wayne Bennett also came out, quotes in the Courier Mail saying they're not going to make a play for Tevita. I think
Trent Barron, I think, has said at the Bulldogs, when the Bulldogs said they'd have to have a kind of a character assessment.
Yeah.
Before
but look,
saying
you've
yes.
had players do, you know, go to court, be up for serious charges, and then still be able to move on for indiscretions far worse than just you know, hanging out with some bikies. And potentially there seems to be a bit more to you know, what he brings to that club and his personality, but he will find another club for sure. I don't think there'll be someone that will, he's a very talented player. Someone will pick him
no
up.
No doubt about that. Ryan Girdler.
I don't think it'll be easy for him when you've got the, you know, the two probably most established two or three of the most established coaches in the game come out and say they don't want him at their club. It's a big statement. And if you're a young coach coming through, then you need to assess why you'd want him at yours. And I know, obviously, the Roosters can afford to say that with the roster that they have and some of the clubs at the top of the table, you know, that are already sort of winning and don't necessarily need to bolster their roster. It's easy for them to say. If you're a club at the bottom, you're kind of looking for opportunities to make your side a better side on the field. That's really important, but you also need to know what comes with that. I think he just needs to make sure he puts himself in the right position at the right club to further his career, because he's a guy that essentially, if he keeps carrying on the way that he is, could just fall off into the ether.
Yep.
There's a lot of other players. So, you know, he should look at the Storm, or he should look at somewhere, take less money, put himself in a system where he's going to put himself around professional people that are going to make him a better player.
Well, is a bikey barber, is it, where you get your hair cut like a bikey or buy a bikey? I'm not sure, MG. If you...
I haven't had my hair cut for a long time, so I wouldn't know. I think he gets a new club easily.
Yeah?
There's 12 clubs in the NRL who would have him tomorrow, I'm pretty sure. He's... one thing is sure in rugby league, when you've got ability, you get a second chance and a third and a fourth. And as M said, looking at his CV, the indiscretions haven't been that bad. I mean, it's... they've been consistent. They've been, you know, little stuff ups here and there, but I don't think he's done anything over the top that's been... if you're a coach of a team that's, especially one that's struggling, saying, well, we can't have him here, but because he's such a good player. Mm. You know, I agree with both M and Gerds on this. Like, you know, he's got a... somewhere like Melbourne would be ideal for him, but so would somewhere, you know, like a Manly, or just a change of scenery for him. It's just getting out. He's got to get out of Dodge. He's got to get out of Brisbane, obviously.
Where is that? Where are you up with that? I mean, because on Tuesday, it was his contract is being ripped up. It's all over.
Yeah, yeah.
But the suspension that he's had is an NRL-based thing rather than a Broncos.
Yeah, and from a Broncos point of view, I guess all the reports were the fact that it's not just the COVID breach, it's the fact that what he's done, it's brought the club into disrepute. So, but potentially, from what it sounds like, it's a reason to let him go and potentially didn't want him around there for cultural reasons.
And he's missed 35% of his games through
suspension. Look, he gets suspended all the time. He was ringing other clubs a couple of weeks ago. So, there's a track record
he's
there.
High maintenance, isn't it?
It's high maintenance. And some clubs just don't want to have people like that in their organisation. And the influence, because he's so talented and unique, he could have on some of the young players coming through doesn't set a good example, and they don't want it.
Yep. All right, believe it or not, Manly are a premiership contender with a healthy Tom Trbojevic. MG?
Hell yeah. Yeah, yeah. Sirenin and Thompson back this week. Dylan Walker back in a couple of weeks. But the missing piece of the jigsaw is Tommy Turbo. And if he comes back and proves that troublesome hamstrings are 100%, well, yeah, they definitely make a tilt. They made one last year without him. They could definitely make one with him.
Em?
Absolutely, I think so. And I don't think it's just the fact that they've been missing Tom Trbojevic, but MG, you just mentioned a couple of those names. They were missing Dylan Walker for a while too, so that's really hurt them. But I think at the start of the year, a lot of former players and commentators were putting them up there as potentially even grand final contenders. So yeah, I definitely think with Turbo back, they're right up there again.
Nah.
No. Or you just want to disagree?
Get that paper and scramble it like...
No, nah, look, I just think
that... Yeah, that's the way. Oh, he's putting a line through Manly.
Keep in mind they lost Manasseh as well. So another...
Fanua Blake's out.
Yeah, so...
For me, Tony, it's just they haven't developed. So those young guys that came in and got opportunities last year when they had all those injuries, a similar situation that they are in now, came through, and Desi was just getting the best out of the Parkers and the Ruben Garricks and all these guys and the Sulis and whatnot. And they went on and, you know, around all those injuries when those guys came back and they made a bit of a tilt for the finals. But this year they've had the same injuries, but they haven't had the same response by those guys in those positions. And they're crucial. If you're going to win a premiership or, you know, go on to do things at the back end of the year, you need to make sure you've got 20 guys that are all in great form, you know, pushing, competing for spots and performing on a weekly basis. And they're not doing that at the moment. And therefore, with or without Tommy, I think they're just a level below some of the other teams.
All right, finally, this is a Charlie special. Just so nasty.
Yeah.
I guess it's after last night's the loss to the Dragons and some average performances the past few weeks. He says, believe it or not, the Eels are pretenders.
No.
Who said that?
Charlie.
Such a Paddington.
Charlie White.
Such a Paddington.
Isn't he? You get him on Instagram.
Disregard the West. The arrogance.
No,
an elitist.
Yeah, he's the Randwick, isn't he, or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't think he put a line through Parra. I think you know, they're still there. I think hiccups are going to happen, you know, along the way. That conditions last night, they come against not just the bad weather, but come up against a rugby league team that weren't going to lose last night.
Yeah.
The story was all about Mary, and Parramatta happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time, and I think they'll still be there when the whips are cracking towards the end of the season.
I agree. And you don't want, I mean, you'd rather the hiccup now, wouldn't you, than, I mean, right before semi-finals. Surely you want momentum heading into the semi-finals. Yeah. I think, they'll definitely be there towards the end of the season.
It's been three or four weeks now.
Yeah.
These guys, you know, and getting to the back end of the season, they need to show something over the next couple of weeks. That's for sure. They got the Storm next week, and I think we'll find out where they are. But if they can't come out, hold their gloves up against the Storm, it might be too much for them this year, Tony.
I think they'll beat Storm Thursday night.
There it is, another Believe It or Not. Next, though, it is Reedy's Mail on the Saturday Scrum.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
So nice to have your company on this Saturday afternoon. Emma Lawrence, Ryan Girdler, Mark Guyer. My name's Tony Squires, and it is time for this gent.
Read about it.
Reedy's Mail.
Brent Reed, how lovely to have you. Hey, buddy.
Hello, guys. How are we?
How you doing,
Fantastic.
Reedy? A couple of big games on this afternoon. Who do you think is going to win out of the Sharks and the Titans?
You're being sarcastic.
Well, what? I just want to have a stack of money on the other side. Because I've just noticed that you're coming last in the tipping comp in the Daily Telegraph.
You know why, don't you?
Yeah, because you've got everything
because
wrong.
You put your tips in every week and you get them wrong more often than not.
Well, I keep tipping the Broncos because I'm a loyal bloke, but I'm off them this week. I'm back to Canberra.
Too little too late.
Controversial.
I mean, honestly.
First time in about 15 years I've tipped against the Broncos.
Reedy,
tip them every time.
You're 18 points behind the leader. It's not just the Broncos, buddy.
but I wouldn't be last if I tipped against
them. That's true, but why,
second last.
Reedy, why do you tip with your heart in that inst rather than your head? Why wouldn't you have don't you have a competitive spirit about you?
No, I feel, I think the tipping, there's still seven other games that time. I figure if I get seven out of seven in those games and I'm losing the Broncos, I could still win the tipping comp.
But if it comes down to it, it's the difference between a couple of Broncos tips may cost you the entire competition.
Well, loyalty is one of my strengths, Em. You know that.
Mm. No, I don't. You got four last week. Four,
did I?
Yeah. Just looking.
I think I took Parramatta too.
This is the only sideline eye who does it from the comforts of a corporate box.
Oh, once. Come on, MG, once.
Last night.
You know what I almost did? I went down before the game started and I took a photo from down in the sideline. I was going to put it on social media.
You sure?
I don't look like I was on the sideline.
So you didn't even sit in the rain last night?
No. That got to
you. You're an imposter.
There was an empty media box designated for Triple M, so I thought, rather than put that box to waste and let down everyone at the ground.
What if there was a serious injury and the listeners needed to know?
Thank you.
No, I could have.
Come on, what if it was like Thursday night, Luke Keary comes off, paramedics, an ambulance, you weren't on the scene ready to get all of that info?
I was 10 stairs from the sideline.
Now, look, I think you're going to be taking off all your games. And
Chamis has been going well as well.
Yeah, Chamis is doing a great job.
He's doing really well.
Chamis, fair dinkum. Anyway, that's on that
Chamis wouldn't tip with his heart.
No. Well, that's it. Well, you never know who's backing that bloke.
Oh, what's that supposed to be?
Isn't that a good thing? That's a bit spiteful. Come on, mate.
Don't start me on that bloke, okay?
Okay. Well, Reedy's feeling under pressure. Mm. I think Chamis, let's get rid of Reedy and put Chamis in full time.
Solid. I just said loyalty was one of my strengths. Clearly, it's not one of yours.
No. Look, I would have been loyal to you if when we went out for lunch, you, me, and Stewie Honey said, and you shouted my lunch. But
we offered to shout, and you said no.
Oh, wow.
Lies.
All right.
Imagine all those wines you had, it would have been expensive lunch.
Ah, shut up.
Yeah, exactly. She prefers to drink alone. She's going to take a bit home with her. Now, Bio, what is the latest in terms of the breaching of the biosecurity measures?
Yeah, look, Tim, I wanted to clarify things a little bit because the NRL is a bit concerned that things are getting lost in translation because there's all this talk that the blokes in Brisbane are going to get hit with the wet lettuce and Wayne Bennett and Paul Vaughan have been smashed. So I don't think people really understand how it works. People think Wayne and Paul Vaughan have been given basically 2-week suspensions. They haven't been, because there's two processes in this. One is the biosecurity process, which is independent. And doctors look at, a couple of independent doctors review the situation. In Wayne's situation, they determined that he'd been in a hotspot, that he'd been there recently. And as a result of that, he was given a two-week COVID hold by the biosecurity experts. The second part of it is the NRL aspect, and that's the disciplinary procedures. That's the $20,000 fine, and that's decided by the degree of culpability of the person involved and the need to send a message. Now, the difference with the Broncos is they went to that hotel on August 1. It's not deemed a hotspot, so it's an area that wasn't considered, there wasn't a high rate of infection. So the sense is those guys won't have to go into a COVID hold. They might have to have a test, but they won't have to go into a COVID hold. So people need to know, Wayne wasn't suspended by the NRL. He was put in a COVID hold by the biosecurity experts. He was fined by the NRL. Now, these Broncos players and the officials, there were some officials there as well, I suspect they will be fined. The NRL will want to send a message that they've done the wrong thing. But I reckon there'll be outrage because people will go, well, they should have to sit out games. But that's an independent decision made by biosecurity experts. Brett Finch is another situation. Now, Brett Finch, the NRL can't discipline Brett Finch. He's not a registered player or official with the NRL. So it may be that the Warriors cop a fine over Brett Finch, but the biosecurity experts will decide whether Brett's got to go into a COVID hold, when he can re-enter the bubble, and that sort of aspect to it all. So I think people are getting a little, it's all getting a little lost in translation. I think it's something the NRL probably needs to clarify a bit more, because there's certainly people who are monitoring the Broncos and saying, well, they're going to get preferential treatment. These players shouldn't be allowed to play. That's a biosecurity decision. That's not an NRL decision. And the Pangai one, that's a completely separate issue. The reason he won't play again this year is because when he had his interview with the NRL and the Integrity Unit, they basically got the sense or got the feeling out of that meeting that he didn't care, that he could give no guarantees that he would follow the protocols for the rest of the year. So they said to him, well, if that's the case, we can't allow you back in the game. That's why he got an indefinite ban. So, I think it's important we make that differentiation and delineation where there's a biosecurity process, there's an NRL process, they're completely separate, and that's why you'll see some differentiations in the sanctions handed out to people.
Well,
all right. Well,
there you go.
Is it fair if the Warriors get punished for Finchie when he's not really? I mean, he's only just come in at the last minute to do some stuff.
He was invited in by them, though. I mean, he was in their bubble, so I suppose he's under their jurisdiction at that time. Mm. So I guess they've got a responsibility to make sure he's not putting everyone else at risk. Now, I don't think they obviously didn't know he was going to go into a podcast. So you can understand. I can understand if they weren't sanctioned, and I get the feeling they won't be. But certainly the NRL has an option if they're going to make enact punishment against anyone for what Brett Finch has done. It will be the Warriors rather than Brett Finch.
As Peter Volandis confirmed, he was talking about the idea that players, in fact, it may increase the penalty, given that there's, I guess, a fear that teams that know they're not going to feature in the finals will suddenly get a little bit lax and go, oh, you know what, yeah. I may as well go out. I'm going to miss 2 weeks if I have to, if I breach security.
It's a bit of self-sabotaging,
yeah. Is there, and obviously that causes problems for the game itself, and he mentioned something about that.
Yeah, well, Tony, I think one of the considerations the NRL take into account is the willfulness of what's happened. You see that with Pangai. Pangai, the impression the NRL got was that he just basically didn't care anymore. And that's why he was doing what he did. And that's why he's got such a severe sanction. Now, if a player goes out and does something who's out of finals contention, it's so willful that, the NRL goes, well, that's over the top, then he'll probably get the rest of the year as well. And he'll probably get a very, very hefty fine. It obviously depends on how much player. I mean, Wayne's obviously on a $1 million contract, so his fine's going to be more significant than other people who are on less money. But if a player does something that's so willful that the NRL goes, well, that's insane, then the bloke, he'll cop a fair whack.
The thing is, too, the players should keep in mind, if we get into a situation where, someone does get it and the NRL is put on hold, they're losing lots of money, and then for next year, then that will affect the salary cap. So the players will be getting less money. So their future income is also put at risk. I think a lot of players probably don't think about those sorts of consequences either.
Yeah, Peter made that pretty clear the other day, didn't he? He said it's not just now, it's the future that's at risk if players do the wrong thing. So Peter, I think, certainly made that, you know, he planted that in the front of everyone's mind the other day, that you're not just putting this year at risk, you're putting next year in terms of what you can earn at risk if you do the wrong thing.
What's going on, Curtis Rona?
Yeah, look, obviously the auto car situation's heated up. I mentioned, I think, on Thursday night that he had a new agent. I spoke to Mario Tartak today, who's his new agent. You know, he's going to sit down with Josh Adokar now and work out what he wants to do. But one thing's pretty clear. Melbourne, if Josh Adokar is to leave, Melbourne want to play in return. Now, Mario Tartak manages a couple of wingers, Jason Saab and Curtis Rona. I don't think Jason Saab will be going to Melbourne, but certainly I suspect that Curtis Rona will be offered to Melbourne as potentially a make-weight mini deal for Josh Adokar to leave and go elsewhere. He's over playing rugby in England at the moment, but he wants to come back to the NRL. He wants to come back to Australia, and he'll get offered, I suspect, to the Melbourne Storm as a potential replacement for Josh Adokar.
Mate, and did you coach today?
Yeah, mixed day today. The old blokes, 10 men again. We can't get a full team. They lost 1-0, but my young kids, they are rampant. Rampant.
Rudy, before you go, what happened with the Melbourne Storm? Was there 14 players on the field or something in their game against Roosters? I heard something this morning.
There was. So when Vunivalu went off to the HIA assessment, I can't remember the other player. Oh, Nico Hines ran on the field.
Mm.
And Vunivalu was a bit disoriented, so he's run back on the field as well. It was only for a very short time. I spoke to the NRL about it today.
Okay.
Look, I think they'll just cop a fine, if anything, because it was such a fleeting sort of 14-minute moment when they had 14 men on the field. So,
see, Brent Reid, that's the difference between you and Trent Robinson. He attracts players who want more players on the field. You can, your team, you can only get 10 running around for you. That's the difference.
Yeah, but
my
young kids may be the best team in the history of the Northern Beaches.
Oh, hello.
The phone's cutting out.
Thanks, Reedy. Lovely to talk to you. Catch you next time. There goes the world's worst tipster, Brent Reid, joins us every week. Mark Geyer, once again, thank you so much. Been great chatting you for 2 hours. We'll catch up again very soon.
I love you a long time. Thank you very much.
There he is, MG. And I think you might be having a rest as well. Peter Sterling will join us any minute as we head towards 3 o'clock and kick off. Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot, and strong. Install a Ream.